singing of a group of students from the Trust Territories, Kusai, Palau, Saipan, Truk, the Marshall Islands, and other islands of the South Pacific, is not truly typical of modern-day Guam. But these are students who were reached by our Baptist Student Center at the University of Guam, and who sang several times at Calvary Baptist Church during the year that Virginia and I lived in Guam while I was pastor at Calvary Baptist Church. So we'll allow them to furnish the background music while we examine the year spent on a lovely island where it's always swimming time and wonderful beaches are everywhere. But the jungle crouches by every road waiting to take over or to take you over. It's easy to get lost in there. Some of our young people on a church outing did and had to be rescued by a Navy helicopter. But if you can get high enough, you can get your bearings by the ever-present sea. High cliffs stand guard at many points and afford a grand view of beaches that hold back the jungle and lead one in the distance to a modern tourist hotel. Guam is about 40 miles long and 9 miles wide. If you're a beachcomber, shell collector, skinner, scuba diver, or just like the smell and sight of salt water, you've found your place. Coconuts, bananas, and papayas grow in the wild, as do many other fruit. But Guamanians are not interested in farming. And Central American bananas cost 90 cents a pound, and papayas are very expensive, unless you have a friend in the boonies. But we went to Guam to pastor Calvary Baptist Church, the mother church of the three Southern Baptist churches on the island. The missionary pastor was on furlough in Texas for a year. It was a very active and well-organized church with about 300 members. And when we arrived at the airport at 2:30 a.m. in the rain, about 30 members met the plane. We knew that we were facing a wonderful experience. They were a friendly bunch, and I'm sure they were more of a blessing to us than we to them. About two-thirds of the membership were military, Air Force, and Navy, and they made us feel right at home. They would stand around after church and talk for almost an hour each Sunday. You suppose my sermons were too short? There was another Southern Baptist church just outside the naval station about 10 miles away. This is Marianas Baptist Church. We're having an associational picnic. And just 4 blocks away from this main street in Tumoning is our other Southern Baptist church. Parks Marler is pastor at Marianas and John Calhoun pastors Tumoning. The man I relieved was Homer Peden. We were to live in his home, and I'd like to tell you that this was it, a lovely mansion high on a cliff overlooking the ocean. But then when we agreed to go to Guam, this could have been the pastor's home for Calvary for all we knew. But fortunately, I guess, it was neither. But our home was in a rather commonplace USA-type subdivision in the village of Dededo, 2 miles from the church. This is Chichirica Street. 29 Chichirica Street, Dededo, Guam. And this is our house. And our neighbors had orchids for hedges, and everyone owned 10 dogs apiece, and this cat lover inherited the Peden's cat. Their home was lovely inside, 3 bedrooms and 2 baths, and it was air-conditioned. But after a few months, Reverend Peden resigned as a missionary, and we sent him his furniture and sort of camped in this house. Living in Guam can be very much like any place else. Some are nice old rambling houses in the country, and some are so modest their owners disappear and the house sits and waits for the next typhoon. People actually lived in these old World War II Quonset huts, probably Air Force families, who didn't rate living on base where the homes are very nice. One of our deacons, a civilian worker with the Navy, lived here in this 5-bedroom home in one of Guam's nicest and newest subdivisions. These homes are in the $70,000 to $90,000 bracket. They brought us our first meal and next day had us for Sunday dinner after church. Dick McLean was one of the most faithful deacons, and Dick and Gladys became our dearest friends. Another of our deacons lived 20 miles away from the church near the little village of Inaraha. This is the main street. And here is one of its most famous inhabitants. We never went by there, but what that water buffalo was lying right there, guarding the clothesline, I guess. Max Stevens, chairman of our deacon body, lived here right on the ocean, a mile or two out of Inaraha. They made the drive to church twice on Sunday, on visitation night and prayer meeting night, and any other time there was anything going on. They were always entertaining beach parties, campouts, and kept perpetual open house for people driving around the island. This was a luau held by the island students from the Trust Territories at the Stevens Beach. They cooked a pig in the ground and had taro and tapioca and baked green banana, fish, and lots of other goodies they fixed there on the beach. The students are from Saipan, Palau, Kusai, and other South Pacific islands. Wes Brizendine is our Southern Baptist missionary. He runs the Baptist Student Center at the University of Guam and is a member of Calvary Baptist Church. This is one of the families who enjoyed the luau, which they said was just like being back home on Palau. While back at the Baptist Student Center, a couple of Kusayan students practice a little pool and playing the ukulele. The Brizendines maintain an effective ministry of Bible study, worship, recreation, and refreshments in that order of importance to them. This is Wes Brizendine introducing one of the students who directed a group of his fellow islanders as they sang the music that you now hear. This group is from Kusai, one of the most distant Trust Territory islands. A smaller group from Saipan also sang. Many of the hymns they sing are familiar to Americans, but with their own special flavor. Wes is the missionary who agreed to double up in supply at Calvary until they find a new pastor so we could come home as scheduled. Dick McLean counsels Ron English, who was ordained a new deacon on New Year's Eve. Ron is a Navy hospitalman first class, and Dick a civilian who works in a top-secret job for the Navy at the Naval Communications Station. Ron adopted this little Chinese boy, flew to Taiwan to get him. The Navy man holding the boy is a friend of Ron's who also attended Ron's Sunday school class. Ron's wife was our church organist, and a very good one. And she and Virginia really decorated up the place. Cora Stevens tries to get away, but I caught her. Ricardo Fernandez and Dick and Gladys McLean and Lydia Fernandez and Virginia were among the guests invited to the home of Soledad and Jose Lalemarmo for a typical Filipino fiesta dinner. Shirley Kenyon is the wife of an Air Force officer who was also a deacon. This is Ken Kenyon, who is trying to get the recipe from Soledad for a cassava bibinca, which she made especially for me. It's worth going to the Philippines or to Guam to taste. Christine Lalemarmo is as pretty as her mother. She left about the time we did to work in Los Angeles. Virginia brightens up the picture in her Thai dress. This is the smug pastor with three of our Bible study girls, Luz Carranza, Christine Lalemarmo, and Eloisa Sanme. Baptist preachers like to eat, too. And here the Southern Baptist missionaries enjoy a luncheon at an Agana hotel. It's a welcome for Mary and John Glenn from South Carolina, who will relieve John and Lois Calhoun at Tamuning Church for 4 months. At the end of the table is Wes and Genevieve Brizendine. Pat and Terry Racher are next to her. We eat again at the top of the Mar, the Navy Officers Club. The lady in the long flowered dress is the wife of Air Force Chaplain Wallace Huckabee, who stands behind her. They were members of Calvary, but pastored a chapel at Anderson Air Force Base. Just one of many hundreds of Roman Catholic churches to show that Guam is 95% Roman Catholic. But there is a well-established Baptist work on Guam, too. This is a general Baptist church high on a hill overlooking the ocean. Anderson Air Force Base was home for about half of our membership. The approach to the base is bordered by royal poinciana trees and coconut palms. The housing areas are just as pretty. Bob Edders and Terry Racher discuss the special number that Bob will sing at an evening service. Bob is an Air Force sergeant, one of our deacons. Virginia looks on. Another of our deacons was Sam Harvin. His wife, Cecilia, worked in our church daycare center and is a joy to all who know her. Sam told me that some of his black friends ridiculed him for joining that white man's church, and at first he had some misgivings, but he later said, "I thank God for bringing us to Calvary because you people taught us the real meaning of Christian love." Lieutenant Colonel Lehman Ford was elected chairman of the deacon body to take Max Stevens' place. And here he discusses plans with some of our deacons. One Saturday, our ladies had an all-day retreat at the church. And I Raimundo Coronado and Buck Hay and I prepared the hamburgers and baked beans for dinner. We did so well, they let us cook for the church picnic the following week. The church families met at the NCS beach every Friday afternoon for swimming, beachcombing, volleyball, and just good fellowship. And little Jeremy Edders found a sympathetic shoulder to cry and sleep on. Gladys McLean, with 5 of her own, knows how to take care of both beautifully. While Delwyn and Shelley Harvin decide that Virginia's kinda nice too. Their baby brother was asleep at her feet, missing all the fun. At one end of NCS Beach, you can follow this trail for a few hundred yards through the most beautiful jungle. To your right, the jungle climbs the cliff like this. To your left, through the dense undergrowth, the ocean is visible. Then one emerges to find some of the most beautiful coral reefs and caves and beaches anywhere in the world. Shelling becomes a mania for many on Guam. There's so many shells and they're so varied that it's easy to get hooked on this pastime. Virginia and I enjoyed them, but we always gave our finds away to the serious collectors. Along here, one can pick out his own private beach. But you better wear tennis shoes. The coral is fierce. High tides have cut away the coral rock like this, but the shrubbery climbs to its precarious perch. And ferns and even orchids grow from these little separate islands, high and dry at low tide. You can see what the tides do to even a massive cliff like this. This fern grows in a tree in a secluded inlet along the ocean. High tides force it to grow higher and higher in the hospitable tree as it gathers its sustenance from the air and the frequent rains. Anderson Air Force Base has a beach that is approached through this cleft in the side of a high plateau. The road winds down several hundred feet precipitously to ocean level. Taragi Beach is a place to escape the constant heat of Guam. Coconut trees furnish free refreshments, and closer to payday, there's a snack bar, too. At one end of the beach is a huge cave, large enough for a picnic party to seek shelter from the frequent showers. Gab Gab Beach at Big Navy was our favorite place for skin diving. Big Navy also boasted a boat basin where you can learn to sail and check out a sailboat, and an old Chamorro cemetery. We use the beaches for more than picnics. Here I am baptizing the Larson family, father, mother, two teenage sons, and an adopted Oriental daughter. George Larson was an administrator at the University of Guam. They bought an acre of land out in the boonies, that's the jungle, and built their own home, Guamanian style. George tells Virginia here how they had to pay $28,000 for their acre of land. The Guamanians value their land dearly. You can see the dense jungle that surrounds their home on all four sides. A rocky trail through the boonies is the only means of entrance. And here they are, 3 days after Typhoon Pamela, rebuilding their wrecked home. You can see how the jungle was flattened too, but it quickly reasserted itself. But we'll come to the typhoon later. Now all is peaceful and lovely as tides rise and fall, rain squalls sweep in to cool the island, and the University of Guam looks out to sea in the distance. Transworld Radio establishes KTWG and broadcasts religious music all day long to the entire island from high atop one of the mountain peaks. While the last of the Vietnamese refugees, those who want to be repatriated back to Vietnam, stage riotous protests because the U.S. government doesn't send them home fast enough. They took a long afternoon siesta each day while U.S. Marines cut their grass and policed up the grounds for them. I wonder if they're getting that kind of treatment now in Vietnam. Virginia's sister June came to see us, and they show off their new island dresses. We take her to the top of the Mar, the Navy Officers Club, for lunch, and we enjoy the view of the harbor far below. Down to the right is the camp where the Vietnamese stayed. We understand it may someday become a community college. And we took June around the island, too. Here on a previous trip, Virginia and Pat Racher explore the Spanish fort built at Umatic by Magellan in the 16th century. Easter, we had a sunrise service on the ocean. It was a beautiful morning. The predicted rain held off until after the service was over. All three churches cooperated, and we had a good attendance. Calvary's choir furnished the special music. Then refreshments were served on the beach after the services. Soon after that, David left us to go back to Florida. And although we had the usual tropical rain showers that visited us often enough to lift the oppressive heat for a while, most of the days were lovely. The sea was reasonably calm, and we could explore the rocky beaches and enjoy the breathtaking sunsets across the Philippine Sea. Mrs. Park, one of our Korean members, and a lovely Christian woman, opened a jewelry store in the Hulalay Shopping Center, one of Guam's nicest and most expensive, and asked me to conduct a service of dedication on opening day. This is Mrs. Park on the right. Her daughter on the left had married a Guamanian senator, Adrian Sanchez, who was a Navy chief steward and for many years was in charge of the food service in the White House. The lady in pink, I think you know. The little dolls are one of Mrs. Park's gifts to us. She couldn't express her love to us in words, so she did it with gifts like these. The red things are Korean apples, I believe, something that David brought home from a friend of his. Dr. Ron Paddock, professor at the University of Guam, was married to a Korean also. He and Wayun taught our basic English Sunday school class. Mrs. Park did not speak one word of English, so Wai-Yun was useful as a translator and was a most charming addition to our church. She also interpreted for some of our Japanese members. Dr. Paddock gave up on the University of Guam, and they returned to the United States. Their Sunday school class gave a farewell barbecue at the farm of a Japanese couple way out in the boonies. Mrs. Park performed a Korean dance to music on an Italian accordion played by a Japanese man. She bows and is warmly applauded. I want you to notice the beautiful garden in the background, a very rare thing in Guam. The Guamanians usually don't care about farming. They leave this to Koreans, Vietnamese, and Japanese. Notice the cornfield and beans. There were melons, cultivated bananas, papayas. All would bring extremely high prices because of the scarcity of such things on Guam. $1 a head for lettuce, 50 cents for a cucumber, 35 cents for an onion, 75 cents a pound for bananas. Mr. Hoshino had a fortune in his field. But Pamela was on the way and was to gobble up all these beautiful fruits and vegetables, along with trees, houses, and boats. Typhoon warnings were about to be hoisted when it was time for the Paddocks to leave. They had planned to visit friends and truck on the way home. Many of our members went to the airport to see them off, and we learned that the plane couldn't stop at truck because 150-mile-an-hour winds were already blasting that tiny coral atoll to the south. Dr. Paddock takes some last-minute movies. And little Wai-Yun, with tears streaming down her face, waves a forlorn goodbye to the best friend she ever had. She left with a heavy heart, and our church missed them sorely. I preached at Anderson Air Force Base the Sunday before the typhoon. This is one of the two chapels where I preached. I took another closer picture of the Royal Poinciana trees about to burst into bloom, but they never had a chance. Those that were not destroyed were stripped, completely defoliated, as was all of Guam a week later. The stone pillars are lattice stones, archaeological finds from prehistoric island settlers. Their use is uncertain. This is Anderson Air Force Base Chapel a week after I preach there. Talk about your windy preachers. But other places fared as poorly. This is a view from near the top of Nimitz Hill, near the naval station. And this is the same view after Pamela. The countryside looked like one great big junkyard. Downtown Tumoning was a shambles, and many stores were open, but not for business. And this is the main part of Agana on the waterfront. I don't know if they ever got an estimate of the number of homes that were wrecked on Guam. And even the few trees that were left looked like they were begging for mercy. And the waterfront and bordering cliffside was almost stripped of all vegetation. Modern typhoon-proof houses along the waterfront overlooking Marine Drive stood the full force of the winds, but most of them were stripped of any greenery. The coconut trees, because they are flexible and bend with the wind, stood up better than most of the other trees. Maybe there's a moral here somewhere. This was a lovely shaded park where busloads of Japanese tourists would stop and take pictures of the lattice stones and the lovely flowers and the flowering trees. But even the lawn was destroyed by Typhoon Pamela. These trees at Naval Air Station somehow held in place. But it was a long time before they'll look like this again. Even the Roman Catholic bishop was pretty badly mauled by Pamela. This is the entrance to his residence, overlooking the city and the ocean from a high hill. The very next day, the U.S. Navy was busily cleaning his grounds for him. Somehow, they didn't make it over to our house. Looking out over Mighty, you can see how barren it all looked. But Anderson Air Force Base seemed to be the hardest hit. Many of the buildings that had housed thousands of Vietnamese refugees became refugees themselves and wandered away all over the place. This was formerly a gift shop, part of the base exchange, full of lovely... objects of art, jewelry, furniture, and so forth. It was completely wiped out. The naval station caught it too. Two small tugboats are aground here. You remember the Stevens family, the chairman of our deacon body who lived on the ocean near Inarahan? This is his front yard looking at the ocean before Pamela. And this is what Pamela left. Fortunately, they had evacuated to the NASA tracking station where Max was in charge of maintenance. On the way to Max's house, all the seaside villages were left a shambles. I'll bet no new baby in Guam will be named Pamela for years to come. Calvary Baptist Church, where I was pastor, was supposedly of typhoon-proof construction, but someone forgot to tell the trees and the shrubs and the power lines. Our beautiful tree-shaded children's playground was left a mess. All the trees were uprooted, and some just blew away. Our front doors had blown in, and the full force of the wind and torrents of rain had invaded our auditorium. Our piano, electric organ, all the hymnals and Bibles were drenched, as was the carpeting, and some of the air conditioners were blown completely out of the windows. Sunday morning, about 40 people showed up at Sunday school time. After a brief praise and prayer time, we turned to bail out the water. We did the same thing again at 11 o'clock. Most places had no water for the next 2 weeks, but for some reason, the church water never went off. All the neighbors around the church shared our good fortune. After all, a Baptist church can't function without water. Here's some Vietnamese who brought their laundry whole wash day in front of the church educational building. The Baptist church in Jigo was pretty badly mauled, and the Roman Catholic church in Jigo lost most of its windows. And a Jigo store went out of business in a hurry. Here, three cars are piled up alongside the road near Big Navy. In the midst of all the chaos, a student volunteer from Georgia, John Riley, arrives to help with our summer youth program at Calvary. He spent his first days helping clean up the church and the churchyard. My last Sunday at Calvary is a confused memory of goodbyes and sad farewells. See how unhappy these Filipino ladies are to see us leave. Actually, Soledad Lalimarmo and Fran Tuzan were and are among some of our dearest friends. Soledad made Virginia one of the beautiful formal Filipina dresses, and Fran is responsible for some of the Barong Tagalogs that I wear. We couldn't get a Philippine visa, so we couldn't take one of the many flights out of Guam to Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines. So we put our names on the space available list for Taiwan, Okinawa, and Japan, and began a 3-day vigil. The commanding general, who was a personal friend, had assured me that there was no way that we could go to the Philippines without a visa. We would drive the 10 miles out to Anderson Air Force Base several times a day to see if there were any planes going our way. Our telephones were still out, so we couldn't call. We saw lots of planes leave for the Philippines. and one British plane even left for Hong Kong, but they wouldn't take us. Actually, this is a British Vulcan bomber that appeared at Anderson Air Force Base on Armed Forces Day, not the one that went to Hong Kong. As we drove out to the terminal, we would anxiously examine each plane and wonder if this was the one that was going to take us away from all this. We could eliminate the B-52s because they don't carry passengers. Guam was the takeoff place for much of the airstrikes of the Vietnamese War, and there are still many B-52s at Anderson. And there's a memorial on Anderson to the Air Force men who were killed during that awful time. Finally, on the third day, I met a female Air Force sergeant at the space available desk who had been on leave. She knew an angle that the general didn't know about, and she put us on the next plane to Clark, a chartered commercial DC-9 that the Lord held up for 2 hours while I went home and got Virginia in our bags and got back to the base in time to get aboard. I was so excited I overexposed my last 2 shots of Guam, but we were so grateful to see the last of the control tower at Anderson. And as the cliffs of Anderson Air Force Base passed beneath us on takeoff, we breathed a prayer of thanks for a very interesting year as pastor of a very warm, responsive congregation, for God's provision for us and His protection, and incidentally, for an Air Force female sergeant who knew her job. You might the hearts with the congregation. It's always that way with people. Always remember the and the patriotic John Sylvia Johnson, one of our deacons. You to my sweetheart. Loves. Before getting to know family. Everyone is this kind of a deacon body. Goodbye, little. We'll never see you again. Arriving in the Philippines, we found in hectic as ever. In an air-conditioned room. We sat out under the monkey pod trees and feasted on you're at the terminal being told that they're. But we went there anyway, and because we were going to be playing just for us and a couple of hundred others. Special services carry all with a driver and headed for Manila. Us are still very much in demand in the village.
Upon the other shore. city to come. The life folk soon is coming to gather the jewels home.
May we all thy love. God above gives life in measure, so much pleasure, so much pain. Farewell, brothers, farewell, sisters, shall meet again. Oh, Father, won't you come and go along with me? For my aim, Jesus is gone, but he's coming back again to take his children home. Look the way. The long, lonesome way. You can see the promised land. Look away, look away. Look the long, lonesome way. You can see the promised land. Hail, the blessed morn when the great Mediator down from the regions of glory descend. Shepherds go worship the babe in the manger. Lo, for a guard the bright angels attend. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star of the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid.